Chavez, Pasuk Dalet, I believe. Now, some a little bit of this got cut off in some pages. I think you were okay. Let me just check back here. Pasuk Hey. Told David was in a fortress of some sort, a fortification. Don't sin in this fortification. Go to the land of Yehuda. So David went and he dwelt in the forest of Chares. Now, it bothered me that here the message is being given to David by God HaChoseh. Because God HaChoseh was the first person, God HaNavi here is called. This is the first time we meet God HaNavi in Tanakh. Okay. Where's Shmuel? So at first I thought maybe Shmuel died. But he doesn't die till Perek Chafei. We're going to find that explicitly. So it seems to me that Shmuel decided he has to stay above this fray. Because he had vested interests on both sides, because he anointed both kings. So therefore Shmuel tries not to get involved. So therefore, who brings the message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? God HaChoseh brings the message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's true, but he didn't want to. He was loath to see Shaul lose Lemaisa. In actuality, the Malchus says we'll see in the next pasuk. So therefore, he didn't bring these messages. Now the Radak says that. I mentioned this last week. The Radak says the David was told to go to Yehuda because while he was in Yehuda, he would still be safe. He wouldn't be, because the people of Yehuda would safeguard him and make sure he didn't get into trouble, because of course he was from their tribe. The troubles which he had only began once he left the area of Shevet Yehuda. I'm not so sure about that. I think maybe he was sent to Yehuda to try and provoke confrontation with Shaul, because after all that was in close proximity to Yerushalayim. However, we're not going to find out about that this week. We'll have to see in subsequent weeks, because today we're going to speak mostly about Shaul and not about David. Okay, Pasuk Vav. Vayishma Shmuel Shaul heard ki noda David, and David was known. In other words, David's whereabouts became known. Vanoshim Asherito, and he heard about all the people who were about with him. Vashol Yoshev Giva Shaul sitting Giva Tachas Aishel underneath the large tree. Barama in the Rama in the plateau. Vachanitza Biyadon, and the spear was in his hand. Vachol Avad of Nitzamilav, and all of his slaves were standing all around him. So there's a couple of things here in this pasuk. First of all, Rashi here indicates that what I said before is true. Actually, I was inspired to say what I told you before by Rashi here. Rashi says, Tachas Aisha Barama, Achas Aisha Bekvul Binyam, is not the same Rama where Shmuel lived, which was somewhere else, but rather somewhere where this is a Rama in Binyamin. Rabbi Sein Ramil, he saw Rama of Shmuel, this is the Rama of Shmuel. Vishneim Akoyim Hussein. And they're two separate places. But besides that, this is the medrash which they say. The Shaul Yoshev Begiva Shaul sat in Giva. In other words, this wasn't the same Rama where Shmuel was, according to the medrash, according to Chazal. Because obviously, if Shmuel says that Shaul and Shmuel did not come together subsequently, but rather the medrash is B'schus Eishol Agado, in the merit of the great tree Asher Brama Shiram Ispailo, which was in Rama that Shmuel was still davening for Shaul. But the fact that Shaul was still alive and Shaul was still a king was because Shmuel was davening for him where he was in Rama. So it's saying that the reason why Shaul had any semblance of protection from David is because he was underneath the protection of the Rama, underneath the protection of Shmuel. Now, the interesting thing in this pasuk, which I didn't see anybody speak about, is why it stresses Chaniso Biyado. He held his spear in his hand. So I would say, just a conjecture, that the reason why the pasuk stressed that is to stress that all the slaves who were standing around Shaul were probably cowered by Shaul at that point, because they knew what Shaul was, prone to do with his spear, start throwing it at people. So therefore, they certainly didn't want to make any trouble. And he's holding the spear because he's paranoid. In other words, he's afraid of attack. It's a nice shot. Certainly could be. Okay, Vayomer Shaul, pasuk Zay. So Shaul said, "I brought up to his slaves and some love which were standing over him and before him. Shimun abneimini, listen to the children of Binyamin. Gam kulchem yitain ben Yishai sodo sukramim. Also, do you think to all of you, Ben Yishai will give the good fields and vineyards. Lukulchem yasim al sarei alafim v'sarei meos. They think he has enough positions, you know, patronage positions, that he can make you all masters of thousands and masters of hundreds. He can't be. So why kikshatim kulchem alai? Why would you all make a plot? A kesher is a plot, literally a cabal against me, kulchem, all of you. Vein goles oznai, and none of you are revealing my ear. In that my son, none of you told me that my son, Yonasan, made a covenant with the son of Yishai. Why is there nobody who makes themselves ill from among you upon me? In other words, why does nobody make sure, feel that degree of loyalty that if they see anything going wrong, that to let me know immediately? Because why does nobody reveal my ear? To tell me that my son erected upon me as Avdi, my slave, lo rave as an ambush, to lay an ambush against me. So in other words, according to this interpretation, Shaul is complaining that and as to trying to prove them that they should retain their loyalty to him by saying, listen, David can't reward all of you anyway. It's not within his power. He doesn't have enough positions or enough prestige to divvy out among all of you. That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it, which I didn't see in the Mefarshim, I think makes sense, is going back to Pasuk Zayin a minute. But Yom Shaul Avadav Shaul said to his servants, Hani Tzavim Lov, which was standing over him, Shimuna B'nei Mini, listen to me, the children, tribe in Yom, so those who can say this with bitterness in his voice. Yeah, sure to go to Ben, Yishai. He'll give you the sardos of Kramim. He'll give you the vineyards and the fields. He must be giving you, putting in place you as the masters of thousands and masters of hundreds. In other words, he's being sarcastic and bitter here. Kikashatim, that must be the reason. You've won. Made a cabal against me. Vongel goes with me and nobody's telling me. So it's an accusation, not a persuasive argument, but an accusation, an expression of bitterness. But be that as it may, it's an interesting thing here in the Pasuk, which is that, well, not yet. Let's go to the next couple of Pasukim. Vayan Doeg Adomi. Doeg Adomi responded. Vunitzav Ha'adah Shul was standing over the servants of Shul. What did he say? Vayomar, he said, Ra'isiyas ben Yishai bonoveh. I saw the son of Yishai come to Nov, El Achimelch ben Achituv, to the Kohen Achimelch, the son of Achituv. Vayishalo b'Hashem. And Achimelch asked for him before God. V'tzeidon asamlo. And Achimelch gave him food for his trip, for his journey. He also gave him the sword of Goliath the Plishti, Goliath the Philistine. Now, these two psukim are laden with meaning. First, I want to tell you something which is somewhat peripheral, but is relevant to the Parshas HaShavua. Then, Pasuk Zayin, we have which word is relevant to the Parshas HaShavua? Nitzavim, right? In Pasuk Tes, which word we have again relevant to Parshas HaShavua? Nitzav. Yet, as the Mefarshim point out here, the meaning is different than Pasuk Zayin than the Pasuk Tes. In Pasuk Zayin, we're talking about the Avadim, who are Nitzavim. That means they are surrounding Shul in a deferential fashion. Whereas here in Pasuk Tes, it says Doeg is Nitzav Anavde Shul. There it means that Doeg is the leader and the commander of the Avadim of Shul. So Nitzavim has two different meanings. To stand deferentially before somebody who's superior, and to stand as a leader and commander over somebody who's inferior. Now, this is interesting. Because in this parsha as well, in our parsha in the Torah, which begins at Tem Nitzavim Ayom Kulchem, Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, you can see both elements in the word Nitzav. Everybody stands before God in a deferential sense. In the sense that God grants us to be the God, obviously we are deferential before God, who grants us everything that we have. But at the same time, our standing before God in a deferential manner allows us to be nitzavim, to be upstanding and leading in command in the entire creation. So that trait of deference before God is precisely what makes us the mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh, a nation of priests and a nation of leaders, in which we can be nitzav, we can lead. In the other sense of the word nitzavim, to the rest of the world. the Zohar HaKadosh says that when it says Atem, I think it's a Zohar, when it says Atem Nitzavim Yom Kuchem V'nei Hashem Elokeichem in our parasha, that refers to Rosh Hashanah. Hayom is Rosh Hashanah. If we say Hayom Arasalam, the Zohar, I think it's the Zohar, proves it in several places. In any event, on Rosh Hashanah, we are Nitzav before God. We're standing before God in the deference as He judges our accomplishments, leading and managing the Bria through the year. In other words, Hashem judges us. We're nitzavim before Him in deference as He judges us as to whether we were nitzavim as leaders and commanders in governing the world the right way. So nitzavim has both meanings when it comes to Rosh Hashanah as well. Now, getting a little bit deeper into that, grammatically, the word in the Medaktikim say that the word nitzav comes from the shoresh of yotzav, like something which is firm, solid, and standing. Like we have emes v'yatziv. Right, those who daven Ashkenaz, right? Yatziv means strong and firm. Actually, I think it's even the Sosfar. Yes, scratch that. But in any event, it's the, what? In the morning, yes. So the thing is, the MSB, I'm going to mix up between Avarab and Avasolam, which is different. But in any event, so Yatziv means strong, standing strong and firm. And I believe that's related, although I didn't see anybody explicitly say it, but I think it's Bashan. I believe that's related to the word Tzava. A soldier is made up of people who are nitzavim, the people who are standing together strongly and firmly to oppose the enemy. And so therefore, I think when we're speaking about Rosh Hashanah, that's why we have the connection to the Shem Hashem of Tzavakos. Right? You know, the minhag is to say L'David Mizmor about Melech Hashem. Because on Rosh Hashanah, we're like an army passing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says, "Kachayolo shel Beis David," like the soldiers of the house of David being reviewed before the reviewing stand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we are like the army of Hashem, and that's not a plug for Chabad. We are the army of Hashem, and that the rest of the year we go forth and we serve Hashem in the sense of, again, conquering the world for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And on Rosh Hashanah we go before Hashem Nitzavim in the other sense, standing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in deferential judgment to determine what our status is going to be. Let's just say, in this respect, I found a beautiful Reb Tzadok today. It wasn't hard to find. It's on Nitzavim. But he says, let's take a look. Where I have my notes, on the first page of my notes. Towards the bottom. Ten Nitzavim. You're standing today. B'midrash Tanchum, or Parsha Zu. Dover Acher, another interpretation. B'bnei Ma'asar, Moshe Matzei. Why did Moshe make them into a Matzeva? Into a gathering of this sort. They're going from one leadership mode to another leadership mode. Midas Moshe, from the mode of Moshe, Midas Yeshua, to the mode of Yoshua, v'chulei. Vad Yoshua son Matzeva, v'chulei, and Yoshua also made them gather before him before he died. Vav Shmuel, and also Shmuel made them gather before him before he left the scene. The concept is, shekol shofet u'mani gador, any judge in any leader generation, yesh lo derech, has a way, the seder, and an order which is miuchad, which is unique. Ba'ichoso, in his pathways, v'anagoso, in his conduct, be'hakdusha, in bringing sanctity. Such as, for instance, here, Hanhogas Moshe Rabbeinu Rav Hashem Balichoso, the conduct of Moshe Rabbeinu and his pathway, Hayolamal Misero Lamazel, was constituted all of things above and beyond this world. B'chol Yonev Hanhogas saw them in all manners and all conduct of human beings. Kamo Bachila Saman, he gave people Montit, Shabbos which came in his merit, Raya Alechem in Hashemayim was bred from the heavens, V'chois came out of Akhbet Torah, and all the time in the midway they're only learning Torah, V'chomochim B'chol Yonim. And so to all my matters, b'pnimius b'kedusha, they all had to do inherently with kedusha. V'achri said yotzum das Moshe, and then afterwards they left Moshe's domain, l'das Yoshua, and they went to the mindset of Yoshua. There, it's a different ball game. L'shtamesh v'lavo, to use and to serve. Oh, well, it's you that deserves the land. And that was Shal Yehoshua. That was the conduct of Shal Yehoshua. I'm probably missing a word there. But hey, that Bisco, his conduct, his concern, was specifically by the sanctity of the land. And to work the land, Kayadur is well known. And that's why Moshe had to gather them. She needs something but that time in order that they should clarify the message and the mindset which they had. So these babu, in order they shouldn't get mixed up by the ischabu sanoga, by the changing of the guard of leadership, binyana akdusha, matters of sanctity. Rather, she sharulam dam, they should stay on their polo, on their spot, v'amida kayemes, in standings for squarely, be'akdusha, in the sanctity, me'anoga sholeh mikvar, based on the conduct which you had till now, with the strength, to have the capacity to reach a new to sanctity with the new conduct. And that's why Shekorin told me about Shazul, we read Nitzavim always, but Shabbos Achron Shoshana, the last Shabbos of the year. Kamosha Dibanu Kfar Apostle, like we already mentioned many times in the Apostle, Vayami Dechosh Bechosh, it's going to happen every month, Umi Dechosh Shatan every Shabbos, but Apostle Ola Shabbos, Shalato, the carbon of each Shabbos, Anit Shabbos, Shabbos Shabbos, Shabbos Shoshana, every Shabbos every year, Yeshis Chachu, there's a newness, Bekdusha, in sanctity, which is unique, with Shabbos there for the Shabbos. Every month, Yeshanogim Yuchadis is a unique conduct. In Kedusha, Kayadua, as is known. Lachain, therefore, Besof HaShana, at the end of the year, Kshemagia, Zman Lischachus, and time for renewal comes, Rua Lischachus HaShana, concerning all the time of sanctity which passed in the previous year, that they now have to renew themselves with the characteristics of a new perspective, the whole pirte uzmane reisek kakdusha, in all aspects of the times and of the involvement of kedusha. At that point, nitzrach lezeg gamkein, it's necessary also at that time we also need tzav, person to stand up straight, va'omed sheyushar biyado, in order to make sure that there remains in his hands kium, a sustained impact be'anefesh in his soul, mekdusha says mani mishana shavar, from the sanctity of the days of the previous year. V'koach hazen, only with this koach, yikoneis b'madregas kedusha says asmani, will be able to come into the level of sanctifying the times of year bischachu shana chadasha, with the renewal of the new year habotzav, which is coming for good. There's a very big chiddush here, Ritzon. I know, very big. What a big chiddush. He says it's important at the end of the year, not just to look forward to the next year. Say, God, I'll be good. Give me another year of health, wealth, etc. No. It's important at the end of the year to look back at the previous year and see what you got from that year and build on it for the coming year. Just like Moshe, before his death, got everybody together to say, okay, Rabbi Tzai, this is what we went through in the Midbar. You got the Torah, you got the Mofsim, you got the Anon, you got everything. Rabbi said, let's learn the lesson of all these things. With that in mind, you can go further and build on it. So to every year, it's a mistake which we make. Which I would have made too until I saw some sort of today. But it's a mistake we make in that we look focus on Rosh Hashanah on the entire coming year. That may indeed be the focus of Rosh Hashanah, but the last Shabbos here needs something to tell us that we're supposed to conclude, well, what did I do worthwhile? What did I accomplish in this past year? How did I build myself up in the past year? And how can I build on that further? You see what that means? See that? That's what Nitzavim means. The taking stock in a deep way, not in a negative way, how much I sinned. Sure, there's plenty of that. But what I did and what I achieved in order to build on that for the coming year. Okay? So that the year in the word Nitzavim, again, you find the duality, the dual meanings of it. In other words, that one is standing in deference before God, but one is also standing and trying to make oneself stand erect by saying, oh, I've achieved this much, I have this much potential to allow me to get this far, let me try and attempt to take that further. Well, I don't know if closure in the same sense, but yeah, I guess you can use that. Okay. I'll take that analysis. In any event, now, getting back to the pasuk itself, well, not quite, but Doeg failed miserably in this matzeva. There was this whole group here around Shaul, and Team Muff did. He made the whole thing go bad. We'll have to see the Ma'abim on these two psukim. Okay, a very cool Ma'abim. Although it's a little bit strange, but it's a very important Ma'abim. Let's go to Ma'abim Pasuk Tes. Vunitza Mimuneh Aleihem. Dovid was in charge of everybody else. But Noveh, so Dovid says that Dovid came Noveh to Nov El Achimelech to Achimelech. Hinei. Everybody see the Dvar Shmuel, Pasuk Ches, Tes, at the bottom of the page. Bottom page 187. You don't have it. Do you have it? Do you see it? Vunitzav, Shemunah Aleihem, he was in charge then. Bonovel Aleichimelch. And they imed a doig magida maisa, the doig to tell over the story. Moshe Abemis, like it was exactly. Loya nitzmecha shum chashado, according to there'd been no suspicion leveled against the priests. Kibemis bo David obeis Hashem, because David originally in fact came to the Beis HaMikdash. Velo obeis Achimelech, not the house of Achimelech. The doig shama, she David amar, Doeg himself heard that David said that he went with the message of the king, that he was going in the service of the king. Even that he's hungry, because he feels faint. And he only asked the Urim some, the Urim and Tumim, some generic question. The Lord never said to the Kohen, Ikar Shei Lossi, what his primary request was. Because he said that the king decreed against him to keep it quiet. And furthermore, David never asked for Goliath's sword. Rachev, he just wanted a sword. Not necessarily Goliath's sword. For Rachev, it's only because there was no other sword. That's why Achimel came the sword of Goliath. Because, it's clear, Shakoin Asazo said the Kohen did this, the Tom of Vavo, with an innocent heart, Nikoin Kapov, and clean hands. Avo Doeg, but Doeg, Lashono, his tongue is Kitam Alutash, like a sharp razor. Osa Remoya, which is treacherous. Who am I? He said David, Baal Beis HaMelech. But David first came to the house of the Kohen, not to the Beis HaMikdash. Shemash Musa, this indicates Shabbat Beis HaKohen, and he came to the house of Kohen, Baal Beis HaMelech, Baal Beis HaShem, not the house of God. Uze Loma Beis Achimelech HaKohen. Now, Doeg didn't say that David came to the house of Achimelech the Kohen. Why he dropped the terminology Kohen? Because Shaza Yamasha Shaboy Lamitakunazo. Then David could claim that he came first to Achimelech because he was a Kohen. Vualoshin Shaboy Lamitari Yoso, Vuyoshin, and Doeg wanted to snitch, tattletale, that in fact Shaboy Lamitari Yoso Imobiko Shrim, that David came to Achimelech because they were secret allies. Yosef ben Achitov, because he was from the family of Achitov, when Mishpach was also his family, Haman and David were bonded up with David. Somewhere else we learned that. Kibivo Doeg Adomi. So then, when Doeg Adomi came, the Agel Shol, both David and Beis Melech, he told Shol that David came to the house of Achimelech. Which is the basis of the subsequent corruptions in the evidence here in the story. That's what led to the destruction of the Quranim. By so Zotzi Dibushin and Shays and based on this first lie, he said a second lie by Shaul Belukim, that David has God. Shimia Magid Shah Vesalukim, were Doeg to have said that David was in the house of God, he would have been compelled to answer Mashallah what David had actually asked, whether it was Taka harmful or innocuous. Because he was there. Because Doeg was there before God. He heard the words. But since Shaul thinks that David went to the house of Kohen, not to the Beis HaMikdash, so therefore Shaul is under the impression that in his secret, is in there, in his house, wherever, deep dark in the recesses of the basement, Kiru Sodo Vishalo, and Shayla. So they're going to reveal the secret and its questions. Achibabola Beis Hashem Lishol, until the point where he came to God to ask Urim Batumim in the Beis Hamikdash. Layocha Ladas Madibru. It's not possible to know what they spoke over. B'nei the Beis Hakohen Blad in the house of the Kohen in secret. Now, that's one complaint against David. Or two complaints. The first against Nov. This, in other words, that David came to Achimelech's house, and also that he asked then in front of the Urim Tumim immediately thereafter. A third complaint is Shabbat Masha Sharlo Belokim, that which he asked God, Hayel Basov, that was later on, not immediately. But Doig Sibir Barmah, Doig was treacherous. Shetichila Sharlo Belokim, as if David first asked God in the Urim Tumim. V'achakach Nosim Lokher, but saying only afterwards did Achimelech give him a sword and foodstuffs. Zem Ibn Shneitan, why did Doig lie this way? Aleph Shimayam Mesaper could say that he would have told over the way Taka happened. Hashol Magish Shakoyin Lo Yadamu. Hashol would Taka know that the Kohen was not responsible. Shiloki Lamana San Lo Alechem. Otherwise, why did he give him the bread? Vacherev and the sword. Beveis Hashem. Now Zogal Lifnei Doig before Doig. Below Beveiso, not his own house. Madul Lishmar Mi Doig. Why would he not have kept himself safe from Doig? Lachena, that's why he says Shetchila Shalom Burim Betumim. That's why Doeg lied and said that first they asked Burim Betumim. Vaya Muchrach Lichnos the Beis Hashem Lishol, and they were compelled to enter the house of God to ask. Lachena Lo Nishmar Bimnei Doeg, and that's why he wasn't careful that Doeg should not overhear him. Gam Bacherev Balechem Asher Nigla Soidam. Even though the secret was being and also he wasn't worried about the sword of Goliath and the bread being revealed. In other words, if David were to ask, had Doeg not lied and said that David asked Urim Batumim, or rather that what's his name asked Urim Batumim, Achimelech, immediately on the spot, supposed to later on. So had Doeg not said that, so it would have been obvious that David had nothing to hide, because he asked everything in the Beis Hamikdash in front of Doeg, right out in the open. But Doeg, when he told the story, made it as if David asked the question secretly and furtively in the house of Achimelech, and then only later afterwards came to the Beis Hamikdash. That was trying to sneak by and do it, be treacherous. Okay, so that was Doeg's, that's another point of Doeg's Lashon Hara. A third thing is Shebezei Darash Mala Kohen. Why also would he change the order, the chronology, in order to make the Kohen more liable? Sheim Tchila Nasan Lo Cherev Alechem. Were the Kohen to have given him the sword and bread right away, Yomar HaKohen Shlo Yadam Mu Mekivarechu. Then the Kohen could say, I didn't know that he was running away. Vav Shachakar Sholo Belokim. Even though later on he might have asked God, and he probably asked on the matters concerning the escape. Then in that case, Achimel could say, it's not my fault. I already gave him the sword, I couldn't take it back. But based on that which Doeg said, at first David asked God, and therefore Achimel already knew that David is running away. Why give him the bread and the sword? So obviously he was helping him, aiding and abetting the rebellion. David, furthermore, what did Doeg not say? He didn't say that David was faint. And that's why the Kohen was even allowed to give him holy bread. Because were the Kohen to have known that he was running away, even if the Kohen knew he was running away, still the Kohen would be responsible to restore his life force to him. Because Kohen is not allowed to cause him to go to be killed. But Doeg didn't mention that David was at death's door and feeling very faint when he came into Nov. No! Doeg said, Rak Omar Vitseida Nasanlo. All he said was that the Shol Achimelech gave David food. Seida literally means supplies. And not that it was necessary because David was in mortal danger. Shemash Matzeda Ladakul Yamim Rabim. It seems to indicate that he gave it to him, you know, as rations for the entire trip. Shazam or Eshach Zibiyoda, which shows that Achimelech helped David out. Hey, furthermore, Lo Siper Shad David Shoal Cherev Stam. He didn't say that David, though he also lied, and he didn't say that David just asked for any old sword. And Veloyal Cherev Acher Cherev Golas Mikra, and that there was no other sword, and therefore it's just a coincidence that he took the sword of Goliath. V'amar, rather, Doeg said that Cherev Goliath Nosan Lo, he gave it to him outright. Which indicates that the Achimelech really wanted to give him the sword in order to wage a war. Besides that, he didn't mention the whole story. David said explicitly, deceiving Achimelech as it were, but rendering Achimelech's culpability nil. He didn't say that David hid his identity. Shomer Feish, where he says that he is a messenger of the king, Hamelech, Al-Dover Stam, on some generic thing. And that's why he said he had no supplies and no sword. Because the matter of the king was urgent. So we're going to have mentioned that the whole story that David himself had hoodwinked the Kohanim, so that would have deprived the Kohanim of their culpability. So said the Doeg is impugning the Kohanim unfairly here by implying that they knew that David was rebelling, whereas that's not necessarily so. They didn't necessarily know that David was rebelling. On the contrary, how could they know that David is rebelling if David comes and passes them off as an agent of Shaul? Okay, so let's go back again and see that inside. Let's go back to Pasuk Tes for a moment. Vayan doiga domi answered, who needs Abel Abdi Shaul, he's standing over the slaves of Shaul. Vayomi said, Raisis Beni Shai Boel Noive, Boel Noive. I saw Beni Shai come to know, not to base Hashem, but El Achimelech and Achitov straight to Achimelech's house. Vayashal Bashem, he didn't wait, immediately asked God, because he was asking about running away. But say the Nasalon, Achimelech didn't just give Bikoch Nefesh, he gave, there was no Bikoch Nefesh involved. He gave him supplies. It wasn't because it was the only sword. Rather, what was it? It must be that he wanted to rebel against you. They both wanted to rebel, and that's why without asking him, he immediately gave David, so claims Doeg, the cherev of Goliath. Okay. So the king said, messengers, we crow to cause Achimelech ben Achituv Kohen, Achimelech son of Achituv Kohen, that's called Beis Aviv and all of his father's household, Hakohanim Asher Benov, all the Kohanim which were Nov, Vayavo Kula Melech, they all came to the king. Vayom Shaul, so Shaul said, Shmana ben Achituv, listen to the son of Achituv. That was a derogatory comment. He was kind of saying, you're not significant in and of yourself. You're only the son of Achituv, therefore I don't have to give you that much cover. So Shaul does all the time to Ben Yishai, right? Achmel said, what did I do wrong? Who among all your servants could David? Is like David. Ne'eman, trustworthy. V'chassan HaMelech, and he's your son-in-law. Oops, Pasuk Gimel. Sorry. Scratch that. Vayomer Elav Shaul, Pasuk Gimel. So Shaul says to Achimelech, Lama Kishatem Alai, why did you form this plot against me? Atov and Yishai, you and the son of Yishai together. V'sitcho lo lechem, when you gave him bread, v'cherev and a sword. V'shol lo belokim, and you asked God for him. V'kumei lai lo rave, to rise against me as an ambush, kayom hazeh, on this day. An interesting thing in this pasuk, which I don't really have a good explanation for. What's different in this pasuk? What? That's true, but that's not what I'm talking about. So Mavim says about that he's going from the less severe sin to the more severe sin. So Sholo Belokim is an outright rebellion. Because who the Rambam, actually not the Rambam, the Rashi says that. Because who can ask the Murim Betumim, the Rashi says, only a king. So that's outright rebellion. So he's going from the less severe sin to the more severe sin. But what else is different in this pasuk? Much more mundane. So you're missing an Alof. So it appears three times in Tanakh this way. I don't know why. But the thing is, I think here, although I can't, again, I don't know why it would indicate this, it indicates that Shaul's communication with Achimelech was a negative one. That's why it's missing Yud. Not sure exactly how it indicates that, but it is a missing word, so therefore it must have some meaning in that context. Yeah, I know, but it doesn't fit in so well with the other two places in Tanakh where it occurs. Because once the Cheskel, once it's Chaya, looked them up, it's hard to fit it in. Okay. Vayomer Eliav Shaul again, like David is trustworthy. He's your son-in-law. So how can we expect him to rebellion? Further that, listens to all your discipline. Why would he ever rebel against you? He gets all sorts of covet in your house. Now the way most of Farshim learn this line is today the first day I asked the Urim Betumim. You sent them in the past. He's asked them in the and your behalf several times already. Chalilali, Chaz Rishom, I had meant no harm in this. The king should not hold me responsible. B'chol v'esavim, all the members of my house as a result as well. Kilo yada avdechol b'chol zos, your servant did not know anything in this matter. Dover kato, neither small thing or god, I had no idea what was going on here. So therefore, that's one way of learning it. Another way of learning Pasuk is, Hayom echol z'shob elokim, it's true today I did ask him of God, but this is going to be the last time. Today I started and today I finished, I'm not going to do it anymore. So one interpretation is I've done it already, made that in the past, and never made a call, and therefore he's claiming against the show that it's not fair what you're saying because I've always done this on your behest, so I figured it's also on your behest. The other interpretation is that really he never did it before, and this is the first time, and then he's promising show I'll do tshuva, I'm never going to do it again. Okay? Vayomer HaMelech, does Shaul accept this? Of course not. Vayomer HaMelech, the king says, Most Tamusa Achimelech, Yehudai Achimelech, Ato you, B'chol Beis Avicha, and all the members of your house. He won't do it again, and none, it didn't work. And here too, it didn't work. Interesting. You're right. The tshuva is not accepted. It's an interesting idea. Vayomer HaMelech, most tell us again, you should die, Achimelech, Ato you, B'chol Beis Avicha, and all the members of your house. Vayomer HaMelech, Loratim, so the king said to his runners, Ani Tzavim Alev, were standing before him, still in that circle around him, Subu, surround the people of Nov, Vamisu, and put to death Kohani Hashem, this Kohanim of God. Ki Gam Yodamim Davi, because their hands are also... Do you have it there? And they did the Avdu HaVeyamelech, and the king's servants who were standing there did not have the courage, did not desire, did not Mishloach and Shalom send their hands to earth the Kohanim with God the Kohanim Hashem. So again, here are a few interesting things in this pasuk. First of all, the question is how can they refuse to obey the king? That's Mori B'Malchus. So the answer is you can't don't obey a king when he tells you to do unethical things like that, like killing all the Kohanim. But the interesting thing here, two other interesting things. First of all, why did it say the Ozno? Why is the thief Ozno if the his ear, if the Cree is Ozni, my ear? Like you pointed out a minute ago. Secondly, there's an emphasis in Pasuk which is not to be found in any other Pesukim in the Perek. What is that emphasis? Appears twice in this Pasuk. There's unique emphasis which doesn't appear anywhere else. Okay, that wasn't what I meant. Kwanei Hashem. Very, very good. No one else in the parish say Kwanei Hashem. All of a sudden, the year it says Kwanei Hashem. All the rest of the parish says Kwanim, Kwanim, Kwanim. All of the lonely years say Kwanei Hashem. Nobody pointed out. So I don't know for sure if what I'm saying is true. But I think that the pshat is like this. Shaul says, you know what, you guys, the Nov people, you're Kohanim of God. That means you're our liaisons with God. You should have davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have taken care of David. In other words, destroyed David. You didn't daven to Hashem. That's why you're culpable. And that would be a play on words. Well, Giris Emesos, no, means you didn't reveal the ear of whom? Of God. You should have spoken to Hashem and told Hashem to take care of David. So so interesting, kinda. So the avodim of Shaul, they don't buy it. They say they were not going to be sholech Yahweh Goa to hurt the Kohanim of Hashem, because they knew no. These guys attack the Kohanim of Hashem. But not in the sense that you think, Shaul, and that they should have communicated with Hashem that Shaul needs help from David, but rather the Kohanim in the sense that they knew exactly what they were doing, and they were pure and innocent. Well, they didn't know exactly what they were doing. They were taken astray, led astray. They were pure and innocent themselves. They had no malicious intention vis-a-vis Shaul. So that's why I think Kohanim Hashem stressed on both sides. Shaul's perspective of what they should have done is Kohanim Hashem, and Shmuel and the Avodah's perspective of no. As Avodah Hashem, as the Kohanim Hashem, they should not have done that which you expected them to do. It's possible that it connotes a low level of Shaul. It's possible. I can't tell you for sure because I don't know. Okay, Yud Ches. Vayomer Melch, so the Melch is left with no choice. So he says, L'doyek. So Vatah, turn around you. Upgab the Kohanim and afflict the Kohanim. Vayisov Doyek, Adobisadoy, turn around. Vayipgab the Kohanim. And he hurt the Kohanim, he killed them. Vayomer Speomuni, and he killed them that day. Shmoni Mechamisho Ish, 85 people, no Sevev Vadu, were so significant that they wore these special aprons, which were worn by significant people. Now, there is the Mepharshim say that he's called Doyeg here with a Vav as opposed to Aleph, because he was caught like a fish. It's like a fish is caught in net. He was caught in the web which he wove himself by saying all this Lashon Hara against David. Chazal say that Doyeg is a Koshbo's expression of woe. The Vav Yud is Vai, like in Oy Vey, right? So Hashem is expressing woe because Doyeg has gone off the derech. The Psalmist says here a very interesting thing, which at first I found shocking, until I saw that in the very next pasuk, the Radak says the same thing. Let's see, and so I turn to the third page of the handout. Emil pasuk yilches. Shabemes. In truth, who are you utterly from Hashem Oz Benov? Doeg was very amateur. He was before God then and Ov. But Shama Chazal say, Lumo Tori came to learn. But Ve'in Oda Asakba, when you learn Torah, at least at the time you're engaged in it, Agune, it protects you, Matzei, and it saves you. So it certainly should have prevented Doeg from killing the Kohanim. Kisa B'Soita, like it says in Sota. Val Karachach Rabbeitzai, look at this. The Behemoth Loy Avera. Was it an Avera on Shaul's part to kill Nov? Was it an Avera? Why not? The Kachrot Hashem's will is the will of God. Shahayu b'nei Eli k'mosham ruzal. Why? Because they were the children of the house of Eli. What does it say about the children of the house of Eli? What? What's going to happen to him? Going to die young. So therefore, says Reb Tzadok, Doeg didn't do anything really wrong here. They were supposed to die. So why is Doeg punished? So says Reb Tzadok, Elish Rach Achmikomakom. Nonetheless, Amruz Pasuk Kibah Anofel. They send the pasuk. Unless somebody fall from your roof, you have to put up a makeh, a fence around your roof. Ra'ui v'chulei may he might be suitable to fall, but don't you be the one to cause that fall in practice. No, don't leave your roof open. El Shemagalvin, because they cause good things to happen by people who are meritorious, who ban bad things to happen by people who are liable. Because at least you didn't put a fence around your roof, you caused your friend's accident. And if you here too, although even a stone which is used to stone an individual, that stone eventually have to give an accounting in Gehenna in Olam Abba, how it could have possibly served to punish a Jew. Truth is, this against the male mind. This is counterintuitive. Why should this be true, that Doeg should be punished for something which really was not his responsibility, which was supposed to happen anyway? The Bnei Eli was supposed to have died anyway. But nonetheless, he was caught on this matter, because in his roots, in his source, remind me the seichel above and beyond his seichel, there obviously was something negative. It's true that he was supposed to kill Novi Arkani because they were Bnei Eli, but not him. If it's him, it shows that he has some liability, and that's why Doeg himself is considered to have gone off the deep end. But the aver itself is not one which gets one out of Olam Haba per se, as Doeg did. Adrabba, on the contrary, it might not even be an avera. But the problem was that Doeg intended in an evil fashion. Although technically he could have gotten off the hook, because they were doomed to die anyway, according to Chazal. Not by him. What? It was Lashon Hara. Right. He's not the one who's supposed to do it. He told Lashon Hara, and he went astray and ultimately became the one to kill them as a result. Now, it said the Radak is willing to countenance that more than 85 people were killed. She said these were the most significant among the people who were killed. But I don't think that that's the case. I think if it says 85, the symbolism is very important. Right? Because what's 85 in Gematria? Hey, mouth. And Doeg here, by having killed, first of all, killed his people because he opened his big fat mouth. And besides that, he didn't go to the Tuesday night Lashon Hara class. And besides that, he also lost his chiluk in Torah Shebaal Peh as a result of this. Chazal say in Sanhedrin that David said, daven to Hashem, that Doeg should never, none of the halachos which Doeg ever said should be ever said over in the Beis Medrash. Should never be said over in the Beis Medrash because Doeg was such a Rasha in this Maisa. So because of this Maisa, Doeg lost his chiluk in Torah Shebaal Peh. He lost his mouthpiece, so to speak. Okay, the Radak, as I said, goes on in the same vein as Reb Tzadok here. He also says that Doeg's Aveira per se was not so bad, because Bnei Eli deserved it. And he says, in fact, we don't find that Shaul was punished so terribly on Novi or Kohani. He's punished. But even David's punished as a result later on. David's punished for having been the cause for this whole episode to occur. So we talk, it doesn't fly. It's interesting because we would think that Nov is like the up there in the sins of Shaul HaMelech. But the Radak and the Radzorah, they make, they diminish the status of the Avera. Because they hold that this case of Ne'eli Taka, Rechai Misa, Mimokam Acher, because of the Klola, which was issued against their forefather. Now, see pasuk yutzeh, fascinating pasuk. Yeah. No, they died young. Yeah. They were all present in front of Saul. Where could they run? Somebody would have caught them. Yeah, but I assume that they were afraid to let them go. But that's just a partial answer. Probably the real answer is he was a superhuman strength. He was obviously a very big gibor in Torah. And the old days, unlike now, the old days, the giborim, the strong people in Torah, usually strong people also in waging war. So things have changed over time. In any event, the Pesach test is fascinating. But Novi Akonim Mikol Lefi Chorevi, he smote the Novi city Akonim by sword. Me'isha Adisha, from man to woman. Me'alel Vadionek, from young lad to nursing baby. The shor and ox. The chamor and donkey. The seh and goats. Lefi Choreb by sword. Where does this lotion appear? With Amalek. Shmuel says to Shaul, "Veimata meisha dishom mishor vatzemi gamov gad chamor etc." Mida kineged mida. The Radak brings down. You, Shaul, were such a big tzaddik over there, and here all of a sudden became such a big Russia over here. But there you felt it was unjust. Here you compensate, overcompensate in the other direction. There's a little bit more to be made of that, because later on Doeg himself is called Amaleki. Said in the first parak of Shmuel Beis, Doeg is called an Amaleki, and the truth is that perhaps is punishment for acting like an Amaleki here. In other words, that which Amalek was supposed to destroy, so annihilated, so completely, it's because Amalek was so perniciously evil. And Doeg is manifesting that same type of evil here, and perhaps that's why later on he's called an Amaleki. In any event, something which we have to derive from here, Musavort, is that misguided tzidkus leads to misguided rishus. I want to show that to you inside. I don't know if I have enough time, but let's see on the third page of the handout again. This is from Rabbi Yosef Leib Bach, the fellows of Rosh Hashiva. It says that Tam Chacham is eino noke v'notar k'nochash. Tam Chacham doesn't take revenge as if he's a snake. It's not a Tam Chacham. So Rabbi Yosef Leib comes to explain that. Eight lines from the bottom. Ki im Tam Chacham eino yochol liko v'litar v'tam Chacham not take revenge. Mokom adorish where it's necessary. Osu sheino Tam Chacham. The sign is not a Tam Chacham. What does it mean? Eino talmidah shalach Chacham. He's not the student of wisdom, which is what Talmid Chacham means. Kigama Tov Shuosa means that even when he does good, who rock me kach tivi, it's only from his nature. V'lomi akar chacham on son, not from any intellectual grasp of the situation. Ki ha'ish ha'olach b'derech chachma, person who goes in the way of wisdom, ain't it slushum ever, there's no distinction, but he's a chacham ishtamish, what power he uses, l'tachlis ha'tov, for the purpose of good. V'rak ma'shenachu tzveroi ha'pi ha'ras ha'chachma olsa, he does that which is demanded by wisdom, bein l'chesed, whether it be mercy, bein l'mishpat, or judgment. V'imeinu olsa p'derech ha'chachma, malakum shenitrash, if he doesn't follow the way of wisdom where it's necessary lamo per to stand and to breach we lock him and to fight ain said only either because he's afraid of losing his livelihood. It's a rabbi, you tell the Baal Bus the wrong thing, no more job, rabbi. So it's either because he's afraid of his parnosah, or because he's afraid that they'll take him away his covet, his honor, because he's lacking courage. It's possible also that the reason why he won't do the right thing, even if it's a firm and unpopular stance, is because he has a very weak capacity to determine Ladas Bechle to know exactly Masha Nochus, that which is necessary with Dorishlo and incumbent Laula Sos upon him to do. Benkoko, whatever the reason is, Eno, this guy is for sure not a Tamil Chacham. He was afraid to do the right thing because the faith is going to be damaged as a result of Adi Tamil Chacham. So he's not a Tamil Chacham. He's not a student of wisdom. He's lacking courage. He doesn't know how to strike a balance and make a decision. All matters which require balance and decision. He's not a chacham either. And here says Rabbi Yosef Leib, amazing thing. If a person whispers to you and says, so what? Alright, so he's a bleeding heart liberal. He feels bad, you know, he has mercy not because the Torah says to have mercy, but a knee-jerk reaction. But still, he can still be a good person. He can do the right thing. He can be mate to others, do good unto others properly. Such a position is a mistake. Who does have the capacity to take revenge where pride is suitable? Gamla Hativ. Lo Yoda. He doesn't know where to do good either. Since he only tells his gut character and his nature. How long is he going to follow to the path of good? Hello, gam mino sava tovos ain't a shotos bo. Even his good traits will only be God dominant to him until he comes to a test. The kshayyavli day nisayon, because when he comes to a test, lasos va dover ma negativo, do something against his nature, he won't be able to do anything, he'll be powerless. Because va teva eitzel adam, because nature by an individual, even by someone who's easygoing and nice, has a lot of negatives in it. And this many continues to discuss show, as we mentioned before. What's the pshat? A person that has to be use his mind. Can't follow his gut emotional reaction to be good and to have mercy. And on the other hand, he can't follow his gut emotional reaction to be cruel and mean. He has to strike a balance. And Shaul failed that test. By Agog, Chazal say he was over on Altir Tzadik Harbe. Here, he was over on Altir Shaharbe. You have to know that the Talmud Chacham has the capacity to be cruel. When necessary, when the Torah tells him to be necessary, it's necessary. And that's why it's interesting, the Gra brings from the Zohar. Normally we learn that the mitzvah Shuluch HaKen, to send away the mother bird, is a mitzvah of mercy. Send away the mother bird before you take the kids. The Zohar says the exact opposite. The Zohar says the mitzvah is to be cruel. It's an act of cruelty. The Zohar says, grubbing down Mishlei. And he says, the Torah is educating you, sometimes you have to be cruel. And this is a tool to educate you that sometimes you have to be strong and take the right stand. Otherwise, you're not a Talmid Chacham. A Talmid Chacham is somebody who follows Chacham. If you follow emotion, even if normally it's good, it's bound to be bad. That's why you have to have the capacity to stand strong when things are necessary. Okay? Now, this is not an advertisement to be a Republican. Because ultimately any American, or any modern day American, is not governed by any sense of doing the Ratzon Hashem. The people, when they're mean today in America, it's because they want to be mean in order to look out for number one. This is not what we're talking about over here, right? We're talking about everything is altruistic, but altruism is not measured and determined by what you see as good. Altruism is measured and determined by Ratzon Hashem. That's what you have to follow and adhere to, and that's the only way you can be a Talmid of Chachma. Okay? So that's what happened here. Bad, and that's what ultimately led to Shaul's downfall and Doeg's downfall. Ben Achituv, one son fled and got away from Achimelech, Ushmo of Yosar, Vachre David, and he fled after David. Vayagid of Yosar David, of Yosar told David, Korak Shol's Kohani Hashem, that Shol killed the Kohanim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here it does appear again, condemnation of Shol for having done it. Vayomer David Lev Yosar. You know what? Last two psukim, there's a little bit more to say. We'll leave the last two psukim for next week.